Luke settled the shadow on the rocky soil, near but not too close to their host's vessel. Ben reached for his cloak. After all that time spent on Doran lugging around a breath mask and assorted canisters, he wanted to take only the minimum he'd need.
"Leave the lightsaber," Luke said, already unfastening his own. "We're not coming anticipating a fight."
"What if they give us one?"
"The Force will give us enough to rely on if we have to defend ourselves. But Ben, this is the species that Yoda sent a man to for healing. I don't think this challenge is to the death."
Ben wasn't so sure.
"Yeah, and they sometimes appear out of nowhere and ram ships, too."
But he left his lightsaber behind as his father wished. Ben felt slightly lightheaded the moment they stepped down the ramp, but the sensation wasn't extreme. They approached slowly, giving the Ang-Ti plenty of time to exit his own vessel. Several large gray rocks were clustered within a few meters of the ship. Ben wondered why the Ang-Ti had chosen such a landing site, when a few hundred meters to the north there was a large area that was completely clear. Luke slowed the pace even further the closer they drew. He frowned a little, revealing that he was as puzzled as Ben.
"Perhaps this is part of the challenge," he murmured slightly.
And then, one of the rocks near the ship moved. It uncurled slowly, languidly, extending a long tail, two powerful lower limbs, two smaller forelegs, and a large head on a sinuous neck. It fixed them with large, dark, unblinking eyes as it curled its tail beneath it and sank back on its hind legs. Ben instinctively knew that the slow revelation of its presence was deliberate and for their benefit. This creature could probably transform from appearing to be a simple rock formation to a deadly threat in a heartbeat. Even now that it was not curled up, but rather sitting, it still blended in with its environment. It was much more imposing than the holographic image Ben had studied. Something about its plating and its stillness was unsettling. Ben glanced at his father. Luke bowed politely, and Ben followed suit.
"I am Jedi Luke Skywalker. This is my son, Ben. Thank you for being willing to meet with us. We have come as requested to accept your challenge."
Ben and Luke waited. The being did not move. Ben took in the geometric designs on certain pieces of the jointed plating that covered its body. He recognized a few of them as being the same as some of those he had seen on the Sanhedrin ship. This close to the creature, he could see now that the patterns were not simply painted on, but were etched into the Ang-Ti's shell, and then stained. Ben wondered if it had hurt, or if, as it appeared, the plating was more like armor or some kind of exoskeleton than like skin.
"I don't think he understands basic, Dad,"
Ben said quietly after a few minutes.
"Doesn't look like it, no."
Ben glanced at the vessel.
"They seem to be highly advanced technologically, and we know that they've been able to communicate with humans before. So why is he not making use of his equipment? How's he supposed to tell us what our challenge is?"
Luke smiled slightly.
"Because I'm willing to bet that our challenge is to figure out a way to communicate with them without the use of technology. Which is going to be a fine challenge indeed, as the Ang-Ti communicate among themselves by tasting, smelling, and touching one another with their tongues," he added.
As if it had heard and completely understood everything that had been said, the stone-still creature suddenly opened its mouth. Six thin, bright green tendrils shot out and flickered about wildly.
"Oh, gross," said Ben.
Then he wondered if the Ang-Ti actually had been able to understand everything they had said, and he blushed a little. The Ang-Ti withdrew its glistening green tongues and was as still as if it had never moved at all.
"How are we supposed to learn that kind of language?"
Ben asked, his voice slightly sharp. He would have died before admitting it, but the sudden movement of the previously motionless being, particularly when the movement involved green tongues, had startled him.
"We don't," Luke said quietly.
His gaze was locked with the dark, shiny, fist-sized orbs of the Ang-Ti.
"We don't learn his language, and he doesn't learn ours."
"But we have to communi-"
Ben blinked.
"Wait a minute. How do you know it's a he?"
"The same way I intend to communicate with him," Luke replied. His voice was softer, slightly deeper, and although he was still regarding the Ang-Ti, Ben realized that his father wasn't really seeing the being. Luke took several steps forward, closing the space between himself and the Angti, and then eased himself to the rocky ground to sit facing it. Him. And then Ben got it.